We're the pride of South Australia, where the mighty Adelaide rose. We're courageous, stronger, faster, and respected by our foes. Admiration of the nation, our determination shows. We're the pride of South Australia, where the mighty Adelaide rose.
Welcome to the Friendly Geordies podcast, and this time we're doing it infield in Adelaide.
Hey, yeah. We're like war correspondents, and we really are, because Adelaide is the Baghdad of Australia.
And
it's true. We were walking down the main strip of Adelaide. You know how you can kind of tell the culture of a city by walking down its main street? So when you walk down Sydney, for instance, all it's filled with is Asians. From start to finish.
Fucking
I just can't even believe that you're speaking. Is this an English country anymore? That's what you think when you walk down George Street.
Yeah, and Boring Girl, fuck you. This is how it starts.
And you don't know who Boring Girl is? That's all right. No one does. Except for, obviously, our Patreon subscribers, which if you're not one of those right now, well, shame on you. But whatever. We're kind people. You can listen to this for free. It's just that you don't get to contribute to us eating halal snack packs and going, just traveling around Australia for
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah, we're here.
And that's a real shame that you don't see that that's a worthwhile thing to be putting money yeah. towards.
Your money is useful to our tummies. But, and you know what's interesting? So, this I'm pretty sure that this is the red light district of Adelaide.
I'm pretty sure it's the main street of Adelaide.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, are you saying the main street of Adelaide is just filled with like
strip clubs and
brothels?
Hungry Jacks? Yeah. Oh, my mistake. KFC.
KFC.
Which is what we will be talking about later on, because two major developments of walking down that main street. First of all, it has as many strip clubs in it as La Kemba has Lebanese restaurants. That's their flavor.
And surprisingly,
Adelaide loves ass.
More shisha places than La Kemba.
Yeah, what's that about? I don't get this place. It's just, have you seen the movie Escape from LA?
No, I missed that one. What a tragedy.
Yeah, it really was. Snake is the main character, who is a in The Simpsons, and he looks exactly the same. But yeah, he it just seems that is the general gist of Adelaide. It feels like it is just a bunch of criminals and despots walking around a bunch of seedy neon light, shall we say, burlesque shops.
No, we shall
around
not.
Around kebab shops, shishas. Yeah, you know what we're talking about. Titty bow. And amidst all of that was just me walking around with a hood on. I didn't realize how famous I am because I spend so much time in a coal mining town where this is like, you're not Rodney Rood, are you? Well, you're probably a poof. But yeah. When you walk down the main street of a capital city, you get recognized quite a lot. So I'm walking around with a hoodie. These girls come up and go, oh my God, it's Linda Jordan. I'm going, doing the classic, I don't know, Jack Nicholson thing of being like, shh, keep your voice down, girls. Hey, let's just keep that to a minimum. Yeah, you found me. All right, you want your photo. So I was getting that photo done. This 16-year-old lad, who I've got to say, had worse skin than someone who's 100 years old.
Yeah, he was a snake. A champ of a man. Anyways, go on, because I saw this man from a different angle to you, but go on. Yeah.
I mean, this is a perfect example of never judge a book by its cover, because even though he's extremely ugly on the outside, this man is a beautiful soul. So these girls were getting a photo taken with me. This guy runs in front of the camera, photo bombs it. The girls, because they're drunk, just start yelling in that real harpy way that 20-year-old chicks do, going like, get away! Get, who are you? Fuck off! Yelling at this guy who's photobombing. He turns around, stares us all down and says, lick my asshole!
this champion of a man who I wanted to take a photo with afterwards.
He's the real star.
But this is the thing that you didn't notice, and I am not kidding. While he was photobombing you, I was looking at it from a different angle. So his head was, the back of his head was facing you, and his front was facing me.
Yeah.
And he took out his tongue, and without a, like, no kidding, his tongue was absolutely blue.
How?
I do not, and you know how, like, you would say, oh, he probably ate a candy. It seemed like his tongue was, he was a
naturally
blue tongue.
Blue.
Yeah, he was a blue tongue man.
Lizard.
And he said, lick my asshole. instantly became a champion.
It's the best insult I've ever heard. Because it reminded me back in the day of Torbs in high school. Because everyone's constant thing. I don't know what yours was in Pack a Boo Boo Stand, which we've got stories of that coming up later on. But in our school, and I'm pretty sure this was just the standard catchphrase of anytime the lads were playing footy and the ball goes offside or it goes out of field or something, and but just by a small amount, the person who does not want that to be a penalty will say, suck my balls, that's a penalty, dude. That'll be their response.
That's universal. That's, even aliens have been noticed doing that.
But Torbs, because he just started getting, and they probably, yeah, probably aliens do. But the Torbs realised that that was getting a bit naff, bit old hat. So he started to switch it up a bit. One time he just yelled while we were playing soccer, I think it was. And then he goes, lick my ass, that was offside, dude. And everyone was shocked. Because this was pre-pornography being streamlived. You didn't even know that ass licking was a thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if he knew that that was a sexual thing. I thought he just thought it was the most rank, disgusting thing you can do,
yeah,
right?
Because the only toilet roll should touch my ass.
And he started getting into a habit of it. One night he got into an argument with his mum and said that to his mum. Lick my ass. And she's a Norwegian woman, so it's so much better thinking about that in an accent. And she was insane and extremely stern. You know, every time you ever see a nun in one of those movies that beats the kids, she had that face. And she just, yeah, just with her response being like, what did you just say to me, Fabian? Anyway, he just ran out of the house. Tom's... He didn't respond, he just ran.
And also, may I say that you took the name...
Oh, well, you know, secret's out.
So Torbs is no more Torbs.
Well, anyway, so the point is, I thought that that was the most hilarious insult that humanity has ever crafted. Mm-hmm. Lick my ass. Yeah. Until that lad said, lick my asshole.
It's a small addition, but it does wonders.
It makes a 10 out of 10, a 20 out of 10.
Yeah, it totally...
So this is what we're saying. This is a beyond perfect insult, and I think this needs to become the official insult of the podcast. From now on, every time you ever want to say anything remotely offensive to your friends, just translate it to that. Lick my asshole. We've got to get this going.
Yeah, well,
so this is why I'm saying that man is not just a pure soul, heart of gold, all of that. He's a prophet.
And you know what you are? The man who was getting a picture taken? A false prophet.
People say I dropped truth bombs about the political system. That man dropped the truth bomb about, like, that is the secret to life.
Yeah, that
licking is that man's asshole. You would know why we're here after that, for sure. Because you just done it.
Yeah, a champion amongst men. You know what? We were supposed to start off with a different segment, but I think we're halfway there. So we're going to start with Adelaide. Is it really more than just KFC? May
and
as well.
The answer is no.
No.
And because one of the guys that recognized me last night walks up to me and says, man, come on. Pay that Adelaide is more than KFC. No. I refuse to pay that. Because every single... First of all, it's like your entire economy is centered around getting as efficient... You know how, like, the entire point of economics is to disperse resources as efficiently as possible? That's the aim of the game.
Yeah.
All of theirs is to disperse crispy strips as evenly as possible throughout the population. That's all your economy is based around, because you people are like Starbucks and New York. It's on every corner here, yeah. And they all have crush bars.
And they're always
the most
full.
Bogan Sydney KFCs have crush bars.
Yeah, it's basically just the 7-Elevens of like Korea. It's everywhere. Yeah. It's always full, and there's nothing else. And, well,
that's
I don't
the
know.
Only edible thing here.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just me or it's the strip that we're living. We're basically living on the Vegas Strip off Adelaide.
Yeah.
The women are way looser.
But they're also about a 5 out of 10. It's slightly better than Canberra. Sorry if you're one of the two women that listen to this podcast and one of you lives in Adelaide. Guess we're down to one. Nah, you're sure some lookers out there.
Yeah.
But
no,
I
know
don't
know
what it is. You know what I think it is? This place is extremely Christian, and Christians don't wear heaps of slutty makeup. I think that's about it.
Well, but they do wear heaps of slutty makeup here.
Christians? Oh,
well, no.
They do?
Well, Adelaide. Adelaide is just filled with, like, makeup.
Did you notice that?
Yes, I did. Absolutely did. In fact, that's what took the median ranking of the ladies here from 5 to 6.5. I
so
pay.
This is, look. We keep waving in and out of whether or not this podcast is the Australian Howard Stern or Joe Rogan thing. It's Howard Stern.
It's Howard Stern, and this is a very sexist podcast.
And we make zero apologies for it. But even though you probably should, still not going
to. And in fact, you know what? The only way to counter this is for some woman to come here and just rank men. And we
Look, this isn't even sexist. It's because, look... Yeah, the women here are average, but the men are below average.
No, actually, you know what? Normally, I would agree with that, but that is not true for Adelaide. The
well,
men
you think
here...
they're extremely handsome. We were talking about this before. Why do most men in Adelaide look like tall hobbits?
Okay, here's the thing. Yes, there are a lot of those, but at the same time, the general feeling that I got was that men in Adelaide are perhaps slightly better. Okay, so like, for example, Sydney, right? The women in Sydney are clearly way better looking than the men in Sydney.
Granted.
I
don't know. Have you been to Parramatta?
Yeah, that's right. A tightly trimmed bearded man with like a tattoo is my shtick.
Actually, that is true. There is a lot of very handsome libs there.
Wait, are they handsome?
Stop shaving your arms.
Are they handsome or just like the poster bodyguard?
Poster bodyguard? What's that?
I mean, I don't know. Like, is that look actually handsome, the Lebanese look? Or I just feel like, yeah, it's supposed to be like the bodyguard look. But I don't know if it's that handsome. I think it's very standard. It's the same look.
Yeah, you're right, actually. It does.
The haircut's the same.
Yep.
The clothes are the same.
Mm.
The shave is the same. Like, very light beard that's, like, almost drawn on with a ruler.
Yeah.
And
they almost look as androgynous as Xerxes does in 300.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that makes him more manly is that very slight beard. Yeah,
that's the look we were going for. But other than that, Adelaide's all right. We haven't had KFC here. And we're probably the only ones who haven't had KFC while we were, because it's overflowing. It is literally over. Last night, KFC, it seemed like they were giving out free chicken, and they weren't. Anyways, so yeah.
Anyway, that's our observations about Adelaide. Yeah, but it was pretty much summed up in that 60-second video I did to advertise the show, but we've elongated it. Mostly by saying KFC much more than the average person does.
Yeah. But you know what, Adelaide... But having said all of this, I would want to live in Adelaide for a couple of years. It has a very easy...
Who doesn't like KFC?
In fact, Jordan made this observation. We were probably walking around what Adelaide's Martin Place is, and Jordan was wearing a Kmart tracksuit with a hoodie that was bought in 2007, and he felt overdressed. Because, and you know
what? Yeah.
Imagine
I felt like I probably could have worked at the Ernst & Young office here.
Yeah, and if you were walking around Martin Place wearing that, you would probably make $2 from someone. You'd be like, here you go, mate. Go buy yourself some, like, hot food. But anyway, so that's our 2 cents on Adelaide.
I mean, look, this is how homeless everyone looks in Adelaide. On the main strip of Adelaide, every Saturday it appears, there is a Salvation Army tent set up. Like it's a refugee camp. Just handing out waters and coffees to anybody who walks past. That is the first time I've ever seen that. And it's not just a bunch of homeless people getting free meals off it. It's just the whole population. That might be the case. Maybe no one in Adelaide... Maybe people in Adelaide own a home, but then they just sleep on the doorstop outside.
Yes. That's a very... What?
Why does everyone look so homeless here?
It's they don't sleep inside their house. They just want to sleep
They feel too
outside.
Uncomfortable about that.
But, you know what? Props to Salvation Army, because that was pretty cool. They were actually giving out free water and coffee to drunk people. It makes me wonder... Okay, on one hand, I'm thinking that's a very, very noble thing. Good on you, because what these drunk people really, really need is some H2O at this point. But on the same time, they're so drunk, is it even worth saving their lives?
That was a really good point, especially because the guy that yelled, "Lick my asshole" at us, I'm pretty sure he was the mayor.
Nick Xenophon's personal assistant. He licks.
No, he's the puppet master of Nick Xenophon. Nick Xenophon's just the pretty face.
He's
the one that pulls the strings.
Damn. That's why he's got a blue tongue. He is Alex
Cold-blooded.
Jones. Cold-blooded. Yeah, he is the reptilian man.
He's the reptilian elite.
He's got... And because his old...
He is so full of mysteries, you... town that wasn't set up by convicts because it was too much of a punishment for them to live here.
Yeah, perfect. So do we move on to this joke of a segment that we have next?
I hope you're talking about our political system. Oh! Because the next segment is actually Mousetrap. Is it really for ages 4 and up?
I've never, first of all, have you played this game before?
No.
Why?
Because the jingle is in my head, just like everyone in Australia probably... You know how your brain thinks basically about 12 thoughts over and over again?
Yes.
In Australia, one of those thoughts... So what is that? About a little bit less than 10% of your brain is devoted to just... Lumobile will come to you. Tell me more. Lumobile, call 13 30 32. That jingle must be implanted in everyone's reptilian brain at this point. It must be as important to remember that to Australians as getting food and water is. Definitely here in Adelaide, because that Salvo's thing was empty. No one was getting water. Because it wasn't fucking crushed smoothies from KFC.
No, all they were doing was getting some water and then putting in some vodka. Oh, God, mate.
Does it come in the bottle? I'll just say it when I go into the club. Well, it's just water.
Okay, so we're playing...
So the reason why that we're playing this is because Mousetrap is another one of those 12 thoughts in my mind. It's just that jingle, you got to do it. That's why it's still in business and Temple of Doom isn't.
So we've got to figure out how exactly we're going to do a... I have to figure out, because Jordan thinks this is the best idea that we've come up with. He's come up with, excuse me. And I think that I don't know how we're going to do a segment while we're playing a game, a board game.
Because it's so simple. Look at this. There's 4 steps to this game. It has to be extremely... Look at who this is aimed for as well. Could it be any more for 4-year-old? But, it's just a different world. A 4-year-old's world is so much happier. Listen to how the rules are presented. Number one. Choose either Sneakers Mouse... Trademark. So good.
Just in case you try to
steal their money. When corporations meet childhood innocence. Choose either Sneakers Mouse, trademark. Nacho Mouse, trademark. Or Pepper Mouse. Sneakers Mouse, of course, is the blue one. Nacho Mouse, would you believe, is orange. And Pepper Mouse is purple. Because, yeah, I've seen that before.
Well, I'm getting Nacho Mouse, just letting you know beforehand.
Damn it. Well, I guess I'm stuck with sneakers.
Yes, you are.
To be your mouse friend. It's so good because I am a board game nerd, and when I read any board game rules, it's one of those ones where it's just one step down from playing Dungeons and Dragons. It's extremely complicated rules, and then you come to this, yeah, mouse friend, and then place him or her, everyone's included, in the start area beside the red arrow sign. The youngest player gets to go first. Looks like it's for you, Ernie. Yay!
Okay, so what am I even doing?
You're placing Nacho Mouse at the start.
Okay, and then what? Like, so that's that like clock sort of thing is the dice of this game.
Yes. For everybody who can't see this, we 35,000 people are listening to us play Mousetrap.
Hey, you
listening, not watching.
Well, this is... Hey, if most of the world can watch YouTube videos of other people playing video games, this is way better. This is the new shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Stop being stimulated by things that are clearly more fun than what we're doing. Number two. On your turn, spin the cheesy spinner.
Okay, I'm going to spin the cheesy spinner, which is so low quality as well. Ooh.
Then move your mouse friend to the next space that matches the color the cheese wedge points to. If there is another player mouse on that space, skip ahead for the next color.
Okay, so now I'm back because I landed on purple.
Oh, you did well, Ali.
Why? Why did I do well?
Just jumped a lot of spaces. I think there's about 12 spaces in this game, so hopefully this goes a lot quicker. But if it doesn't, you will listen to us as well. If this takes as long as Monopoly,
Hold up, hold up. Before you stop listening to this, we will talk about the new Prime Minister, so please stay tuned.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love this pot.
All right, well, now you go, right?
If your mouse friend lands on a space with a kick sign, then there is a mouse in the cheesy trap area and you get to launch the trap. Oh, there is a mouse in the cheesy trap area. You get to launch the trap. To launch the trap, push down on the red arrow, blah, 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 blah. 4, scurry and scamper around the board until someone gets trapped. Hang on, who wins? Oh, wait, here it goes at the very top here for some reason. How to win? Be the first player to trap a mouse. But what if you trap your own mouse?
Well, then you win and lose. This is for 4-year-olds. No, I'm pretty sure
that you just
win.
Excuse
me, this is a lesson for kids that no one's a winner or loser. As long as you try your best to enjoy the game, everyone wins. This is for 4-year-olds, remember?
Hey, you're so right. It is actually what Louis C.K. was talking about when he was saying that there's such a huge difference between Candyland and Monopoly. How dark Monopoly is. Yeah. And then this one is just like, yay!
Okay, well, spin your goddamn cheese.
And I landed on purple for everybody playing at home, which we have forced upon an entire nation.
Basically, you should know that there's only 3 colors. There's orange, blue, and purple. So, it can only be one
of the 3.
Just
like the mice.
Just like the mice. All right, so, man, I really, really don't understand the point of this goddamn game. Okay.
Okay, right, now you're moving to the orange. I think you just have to, if there's a mouse, this is such a stupid game. All right, so if there is a mouse on the red boot sign.
Which there isn't.
Well, we probably, you were stressing this a lot before we started, yes, that we should read the rules before
No,
we began.
I was saying that we should at least play one game before so that we can at least make it a bit more entertaining. But I just want... Okay, what I want to know is how do you trap the mouse? Do you just, like, let it fall down?
And there is a mouse in the cheesy trap area. Oh, so there's only... Okay, so basically you just have to keep spinning until exactly this moment where there's someone just there.
And by there, we mean...
Specifically there. So it's all just one trap. I thought there was more.
So what... Oh, God. Wait, okay. Are 4-year-olds dumber than I thought they were?
Yeah, they're pretty retarded.
Dang.
They don't understand.
That also
much.
Reminds me, there's another segment coming up, the time when we spoke like retards for a year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hey, man, we're pretty
You know what? This is going to introduce a lot of people to this podcast as well, because it will be one of those grabbers of, Australia's new Prime Minister. So there might be up to 7,000 new people that are listening to this, and it's just going to be us playing Mousetrap and then talking about a time where we sounded like we had mental disabilities on purpose for an entire year.
People stopped hanging out with us because
they somehow found that offensive.
Yeah, because Jordan, myself, and the Dome King spoke in a totally different language at this point. In fact, so much so that all of you listeners that were Tom from the podcast also attempted to speak the same way, but very quickly realized that it is quite ridiculous that we are speaking in a language that no one understands.
And point of clarification, by very quickly, you mean 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months in. After 6 months in, he was like, he
tapped out first, just like he did with the pod. Pathetic.
Okay, why don't we talk like that throughout this game?
Alright, just to give everyone a taste of what's coming up. Alright, man, your turn to be in there.
Man, the thing is, if I been there, anything gonna happen, or am I just waiting my time?
Man, if you on the cheesy trap, and you land on the kick thing, then yeah, something happen, man.
Man, this like really mind-blowing right now. Okay.
If anyone could get even two sentences of what we're saying, and you write it down, we will give you, you write it down and you're correct, and we listen back to it, we will give you this week's Patreon money. All of it.
Yeah, I would not have to pay my rent. Okay, so I landed on purple, and now I think I'm on the fucking cheese thing. There we go. I'm about to be trapped.
Fun contraption. All right, let
okay,
me just check.
Wait, no, so aren't I supposed to get trapped now?
I'm supposed to land on this. Oh, well, whatever. The point is, I landed on it. Ooh, you don't know if I did.
Yeah, and also now I'm gonna get trapped, and which means I either lost or won, depending on how you interpret this game.
Keep in mind, this game costs $70, worth every penny.
Here we go. Never play this again.
All right, get ready for fun. And I've pressed the boot, which has kicked the bucket over. It is going down an alligator, which hit a dig, and...
Oh! Okay, that was entertaining. That was almost as entertaining as the mini golf, the putt-putt game that we played just today. Okay, so what...
Keyword, almost.
Do I win? This is right.
Look, my... I'm always saying on this podcast, my general temperament is that I'm a 40-year-old woman who's really scared of aging and started using anti-aging creams at the age of 19. But...
True story.
And how you, Ali, are a 50-year-old man by temperament.
Yes, that... But you know what? Okay, so Jordan is a board game nerd. What I really, really want to know, who do you play these board games with? Because I remember I would be hanging out at your house, and there were two things when I knew, okay, I need to go back to my house. One was when Jordan decided, hey, do you want to play a board game? I'm like, oh, okay, so I need to catch a train straight away. The second was when he's like, okay, have you heard of Brian Tracy, the new self-help guru? Anytime Jordan would mention either self-help or board games was when, okay, I need to fuck off now. Who do you play these board games with?
I'm that fat baby from Spirited Away and you're Chihiro.
Okay, please tell me, who do you play these board games with?
No one, because I am that fat baby from Spirited Away who has no friends that'll play it with me.
Yeah, because...
And
like,
now I'm going to get a bunch of requests from people going, I'll play with you.
Like the one that I got, which was like, nice to find a fellow friend's lover. Hard, hard, hard. Oh, man, I think his name was Pat. Pat, you're king. But like, I was watching Friends the other day. That show has aged quite badly. It taught me English, but it took away my comedy.
And just a question, I guess, for you, Pat. Please explain to me, why did Ross's head look exactly like an oblong?
What?
It was just, no, not an oblong. Actually, you know what he did look like?
A hexagon.
Do you remember that thing from The Simpsons? We now return to people who look like things. Get that up. Google that shit, Ali. There's a picture of... we now return to people who look like things.
What? Okay, so...
There is a picture of a man that looks like a kettle. It's Ross.
Okay, we now return to people who look like things, and I am getting zero search results. For the first time in history, Google is saying we could not find this. People who look like us. Okay.
Look, we'll get to the big news of this week, which is that Australia has a new prime minister. But first, does Ross look like a kid?
Okay, he kind of does. He kind of does.
See? That one there.
Oh, that one there.
Go to images. Ah, the funnest part of any Joe Rogan podcast. Him watching YouTube clips, and because they don't have the copyright to it, they just listen to it by themselves and then comment on it.
I'm just getting like weird. Okay. You know what? This is not.
Well,
this
anyway, is, the point is that was fun.
Yeah. That, all right. This was today's podcast. Yeah, clunky start.
Tune in next week where we might be talking about the new Prime Minister. But by then, there'll probably be a new one, am I right?
You're so funny and so witty.
ABC jokes. what's the next segment that we had?
No, we were... okay, do you really want to move on to the next segment? Oh, yeah, that's right, because the mousetrap game is done. Please tell me, did I win or lose?
I don't know.
Okay, anyone who is a mousetrap connoisseur...
There is no reference to winning and losing in this. And because it just had to say, and place your mouse friend, him or her, doesn't matter which.
Okay, well, if you're a mousetrap connoisseur...
They're clearly hers. Where's the schlong?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, if you're a mousetrap connoisseur, did Ali lose if he was trapped? Yeah. Because I'm assuming that he did, but maybe... It's fun being in a cage because it's so pretend, and that monkey's very happy about trapping them.
Okay, I have a very strong feeling that I lost, because being trapped does not indicate you are a champion. It indicates you lost. You can't. It's an evolutionary thing.
Unless this was invented by some gimp who's really into S&M, then you're the winner.
Well, if this game was for 45-year-old women, then I'm a winner. If it's for 4-year-old boys, then I'm a loser.
Yeah, this has gotten pretty dark, isn't it? 50 Shades of Grey, the game. You could just put that over the top and it would sell.
Man, isn't that like also an S&M thing where, I don't know if this is true, but someone told me this, and admittedly ages ago, where like some men like to put their dick in mousetraps?
What?
Yeah, like...
Who told you this?
I think it was like
a
high school.
Was it a six-year-old? No. Yeah, there we go.
No, but hey, I was in high school. I wasn't six in high school.
True.
I am a genius, but...
And actually, you did learn everything. There was no need for PD in high school. You learned all you needed to know on
PD?
The lunch playground. And that was when they were just like, all right, and we're just going to put a condom on a banana, just so everyone knows how to do it. You're not going to do
sex
it, are you?
Ed. Nap.
Yeah, that. Sex ed.
We didn't have sex ed. We were just told that in order to have babies, you need to get married. And that was it. I remember we were all called into a room and what we thought was going to be sex ed. And it was basically just telling everyone, you're getting older, so everyone should wear deodorants.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what the point of that was. I think one day the class was stinking pretty bad, and then the staff needed to have an intervention. Like, okay, here's the thing. Have you heard of Axe? Anyway, well, the next segment is obviously the main attraction, which is the new... Oh, no, wait. The segment is called Scott Morrison, the most important political development since Federation.
And we stand by it. Yeah. Prove us wrong.
Prove us wrong. It is.
Gough Whitlam's dismissal. The Snowy River Hydro scheme.
The
banishment of the White Australia policy. The carbon tax. All pale in comparison to the fact that Malcolm Turnbull was replaced with a slightly uglier, ruder version of Malcolm Turnbull. But only slightly.
Yeah. This is the biggest conspiracy since the time... Who was that? Who was that Prime Minister that got abducted by the Chinese?
Harold Holt.
Yeah.
Fact.
Fact.
We know. and say that we just get our news from reading The Guardian. No. We've got inside sources.
Yeah. Reddit.
Ali's a communist, so he's in on it.
Reddit. Yeah, Reddit is her main source. But wasn't he... So this is the conspiracy theory, right? Yeah. That he went swimming, he was abducted by the Chinese, and even though this happened in, like, I think the early 60s, he is still an informant in the People's Republic of China.
Yeah. So it checks out.
It's the same way that Hitler is still alive in Argentina.
Haven't you ever heard that the most simple explanation is probably the correct one?
Yes, it's if
which is that explanation. There's nothing simpler than that.
But what
did he
happened?
Drowned? Open your eyes.
Okay, so he clearly just drowned, right?
Yeah. Well, either that or a Japanese sub did abduct him, and he's currently pretending to be Miley Cyrus. What? How good would that be? Yeah. He is like that creature that Cate Blanchett played in the movie Orlando.
Yeah, and he loves wrecking balls. Okay, hold up, man. Can we please talk about something more substantive?
No.
So Scott Morrison, the new prime minister. You know what? First of all, you know what would have been interesting? If Peter Dutton was the prime minister.
Yes.
Fuck Scott Morrison.
Agreed.
And you know what? And I hate everyone that's like feeling bad for Malcolm Turnbull now, including Who? Bill Shorten. Bill Shorten's tweet was saying, Malcolm Turnbull joined politics late in his life, and he's always had great appreciation for intellect, and he's been a formidable opponent. Fuck off. This guy, wasn't this guy the main proponent of climate change in the Liberal Party? The great proponent of a republic, Australia being a republic, and just before resigning as the prime minister, in order to stay the prime minister for maybe a few more weeks, he decided, fuck climate change targets. We can go back to burning the worst kind of coal if it keeps me in power for maybe two more days.
That's incredible. Yeah, he would... Oh my god. He would prefer to be the last leader in the developed nations to open up new coal plants than be the prime minister for one day less.
Yeah, this is okay, Jordan, this is what I'm talking about. This is a psychopathic thing to do. This man, in order to like stay the prime minister and what, be called a top dog, was like willing to give up all of his morals. That, man, this is exactly who you don't want your prime minister to be. And so, well, fuck him. He's gone. Scott Morrison.
I will say this for him, though. The man knew how to wear a suit.
Yeah, great.
I don't know, navy blue. Guys, it's underrated and it's back in.
Well, Scott Morrison also wears a navy blue suit because I saw him near Wynyard train station, 12 at night. Hanging out with like four dudes who were also wearing navy blue suits, and I think that they all work for PNG. they were just the definition of suits. If I took that picture and put it on Google Images, if you put in suit scum, that picture would show up.
I don't understand why you're always saying that he looks like he's a suit. Man, to me, he looks like if a bureaucrat looks like anything else, they should be instantly fired. Mm. That has been his entire career. He worked for the tourism, the Department of Tourism for about 20 years of his life. His big addition in that time, like, I can't believe this, that you can pay someone to exist a huge salary, and his only contribution in 20 years of work is that he approved the "Where the Bloody Hell Are Ya" ad. not even invented it, approved it.
Wait, what do you mean? So, do you think you're saying that his job was to basically advise people whether they should vacation in Bali or Fiji?
Yeah, he was basically someone who works at Flight Center.
Also, have you heard of the new scandal of Flight Center?
No, but this sounds much bigger than the fact that we have a new prime minister, so go ahead.
It's extremely important. Apparently, at Flight Center, they were doing cocaine everywhere whilst working. It was basically Wall Street, but like much sadder because it was Flight Center. Anyways, going back to Scott.
I don't know.
Okay.
Planes get higher.
Hold on, come on.
Hang on. What? Every Flight Center?
Apparently, because there's like there's a bunch of people that have come out saying that Flight Center was filled with bullying, harassment, managers were having sex with young workers, and cocaine was rampant. And I was like, that sounds like a good place to
work. Yeah. If you have no aspirations in life, like Scott Morrison, you should be working as Flight Center.
Yeah, and you could be the next Prime Minister.
Yes.
Okay, but on a serious note, you know what? I think I have understood why Murdoch instigated this insurgency in the Liberal Party.
So you are confirming the conspiracy that the ABC keeps exposing and going, "She, we're worth our salt. We expose things." What, you listen to Alan Jones talk where he's openly saying that? Yep. Did some real research there.
Well, and also now it's kind of like come out. They've recently found WhatsApp messages that were, I think Alan Jones was also sending them to MPs, advising them not to vote for Julie Bishop.
Yeah, but good on him. So what?
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong.
And he was right. This is the whole point. What we were saying about the fact that Peter Dutton should have won is because that was an actual punt.
Mm.
And it gave the Liberal Party some flavour. Just going for another milquetoast candidate that doesn't really appeal to any base at all, you will probably end up losing more seats.
Yeah, this is like the worst. But you know what? What happened was it was a failed insurgency.
Right.
I mean, I don't think the point of this whole insurgency was to get Scott Morrison elected. That is just, it's a freak of things. Scott Morrison should have never been the Prime Minister.
No, actually, I've got to add this. I already put it in a Facebook video. But when I was talking to people who work in the unions and staffers and campaigners, all of them were saying that it was just common knowledge in Canberra that the Liberal Party knew they were going to lose the next election about 3 months into their second term. So they just won the election and they were already preparing for being in opposition. And they said that the long-term plan of it was to get rid of Malcolm about 2 years in, replace them with Scott Morrison, call a snap election, and while they're on the sugar high of that, claim back a few seats.
Wait, when did
so
they,
it wasn't a freak.
When did they tell you that?
They before told me this that? Pretty much straight after the 2016 election.
No, okay. Here's the thing. That is incredible. If that's true,
but this is what
I think this is a freak of freak. Okay, so this is my theory behind it. Okay,
go for it.
So what happens is that the Longman by-election, I think that's where it begins. The Longman by-election was, every by-election, if you haven't, listen to the podcast about Longman by-election. It was being touted on the media as like the litmus test of who's going to win the next elections. The Liberal Party actually wanted that image to be out there because the polls were showing that Labour Party is going to win and the polls in Longman were showing that the Libs are going to win. So they were saying that, okay, if the Libs win this, it will create a perception that they're going to win the next elections as well. They lose. In fact, they lose badly than what they thought that they were going to lose, which basically gives people like Murdoch the open hand to go, okay, you're definitely losing the next elections. There's a populist wave throughout the world. Trump is the president. You know, like it's happening everywhere. And it's being fueled by stagnant wages. That you need someone like Peter Dutton, who's basically, a Tony Abbott 2.0, or basically, like a Australia First kind of guy.
Tony Abbott 10 years in the future that came back into our time, and now there's two Tony Abbotts.
Yeah, and just, and looks.
And yeah, for 10 years in the future, he's just like, yeah, I stopped working out.
Yeah, and believe it or not, uglier than Tony Abbott. How is that even?
Because Tony Abbott was in a nuclear fire, which is why he's really against any form of alternative energy other than coal.
So Murdoch, not just Murdoch, but the far right end of the Liberal Party really, really wanted Peter Dutton to be the Prime Minister, because that is, and which is, I think, is also true, like they're not wrong, is probably the only shot that they had at winning the next elections.
I don't, no. I think that they knew that they're not going to win the next election. It's just a foregone conclusion. And I think that people in Canberra can predict with fairly certain accuracy, sometimes they're going to be wrong, how people are going to vote years into the future. Sometimes there's some upsets, but pretty much it just goes according to the script. And I think that what happened is that the fight was between whether or not the moderates, they were going to try and sandbag the seats of the moderates, or they were going to sandbag the seats of the dries, the conservatives.
Yeah.
And so I think that it was basically Dutton was saying, everybody get together, because if we put that Malcolm Turnbull face out, and then everybody in all the bogan seats goes, oh, you basically Bill Shorten, I'll just vote for fucking Pauline Hanson. Mm-hmm. And then they'll lose their seats to the more fringe conservative parties.
Yeah.
So he was saying, let's shore up our side of the Liberal Party seats and screw the moderates. And I totally agree with him. There's some dude, screw the moderates. The moderates of the Liberal Party suck. A, they have no flavour. B, at least the conservatives, even though I don't agree with them, have moral convictions. And they don't think climate change is happening. That is so much more excusable than the moderates who know climate change is happening but don't do anything about it.
Won't do anything about it. You're preaching to the choir. I completely agree with that. As much as I hate the conservative end of the Liberal Party, it does make sense. Okay, imagine if Peter Dutton was the Prime Minister and they still lose the next elections. That would have been a formidable opposition. Imagine Scott Morrison as your opposition leader. He would suck.
The man can barely talk.
The man can be... This isn't Flight Centre. This is Australian politics. he would be such a bad opposition leader. And you know what's happened here? They gambled. The Liberal Party gambled, and they lost. Basically, the moderates of the Liberal Party that are overrepresented in the party, but I think are underrepresented in the electorate. What basically I'm trying to say is that the Liberal Party, technically, if rules of democracy are to be adhered, should probably have Peter Dutton as the Prime Minister now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
So,
100% agree.
So, he
represents something. That's the whole thing. Like, what does Malcolm Turnbull represent? Purely corporate interest. That is it. At least Peter Dutton represents a way of thinking in the community. Mm. That's what I think the difference is.
And that would have been a lot more helpful. Malcolm Turnbull
represents no one except for his neighbours in Potts Point. Mm.
And you know what I also think? Maybe I'm wrong. You probably know more about this. But I do not think that Peter Dutton, a month ago, or even 20 days ago, was actually interested in challenging the leadership. I think he got convinced by Abbott. I think he got convinced by Tony Abbott, and he got convinced by your Alan Jones, your Murdochs, all of these, you know, like these back-end pundits to go like, okay, this isn't just about you. This is about the country. And then Peter Dutton was like, hey, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's about the country. Fuck you, Malcolm.
Yes, it's so true. And I'm going to prove to you that you don't have to be pretty to run a country.
And this whole plan got ruined. And also, on top of
that, I do like the fact that he is remarkably ugly. Scott Morrison's just normal, run-of-the-mill ugly.
Yeah. Scott Morrison.
At least go that far out.
Because don't like the American political pundits often say, if you look at the presidential candidates and you see which one's uglier than the other one, you can almost always tell that the uglier one is going to lose the elections.
Mm.
So, well, Peter... Man, This is what I'm saying. First of all, 40 to 45 votes. Wasn't that the difference between... Yep. That is very close.
Mm.
This isn't a planned thing, Jordan. This is what I'm saying. Like, the Canberra people might have said that, but they were basing... Basically, what they were saying was, before the Trump election, that Trump's going to win. Even though Trump won and they got vindicated, it is absolutely ridiculous before the elections to assume that Trump is going to win. You know?